He that will enter in must first without stand knocking at the gate, nor need he doubt that is a knocker but to enter in, for God can love him and forgive his sin. He knocked therefore several times, saying, May I now enter here? Will he within open to sorry me, though I have been an undeserving rebel? Then shall I not fail to sing his lasting praise on high. At last, an authoritative person named Goodwill came to the gate and asked who was there, and where he had come from, and what he wanted. Christian said, I am a poor burdened sinner. I come from the city of destruction, but am going to Mount Zion, so I may be delivered from the wrath to come. Since I have been informed that this gate is the way to that place, I want to know if you are willing to let me in. Goodwill said, I am willing with all my heart. And with that, he opened the gate. As Christian was stepping through the gate, Goodwill gave him a pull. Then Christian said, Why did you do that? A little distance from this gate, said Goodwill, there is a strong castle of which Beelzebub is the captain. He and his cohorts shoot arrows at those who come up to this gate, hoping they may die before they can enter in. Then said Christian, I rejoice and tremble. And when he was in, Goodwill asked him who had directed him there. Evangelist told me to come here and knock. He said that you, sir, would tell me what I must do. An open door is before you, said Goodwill, and no man can shut it. Now I begin to reap the benefits of my hazards. But how is it that you came alone? Because none of my neighbors saw their danger as I saw mine. Did any of them know you were coming? Yes. First my wife and children saw me and called after me to return. Also some of my neighbors did the same. But I put my fingers in my ears and kept going. But did none of them follow you and try to persuade you to go back? Yes, both obstinate and pliable. When they saw that they could not prevail, obstinate went back, reviling me. But pliable came with me a little way. But why did he not come through the gate? We traveled together until we fell into the swamp of despond. Then my neighbor Pliable became discouraged, and would not venture further. Wherefore, getting out again on that side nearest to his own house, he told me I should go without him. So he went his way, and I came mine, he after obstinate, and I to this gate. Alas, poor man! Is the celestial glory of such little value to him that he figures it is not worth risking a few difficulties to obtain it? Indeed, said Christian, I have told the truth about Pliable, and if I should tell the truth about myself, I am no better than he. For while it is true that he went back to his own house, I also turned aside to go in the way of death, being persuaded to do so by the carnal arguments of one Mr. Worldly Wiseman. Oh, did he find you? And he would have had you seek the easy way with Mr. Legality. Both of them are deceitful. But did you take his advice? Yes. As far as I dared, I went to find Mr. Legality until I thought the mountain that stands by his house would fall on my head. Wherefore I was forced to stop. That mountain has been the death of many, and will be the death of many more. 'Tis well you escaped being dashed in pieces by it. Why, truly, I do not know what would have become of me there, had not Evangelist met me again in the midst of my gloomy state of mind. It was God's mercy that he came to me again, for otherwise I would never have gotten here. But now I am here. I, who deserved death by that mountain, rather than to stand thus talking with my Lord. Oh, what grace this is to me, that I am still admitted entrance here. We make no objections against any, said Goodwill, notwithstanding all that they have done before they came here. They in no wise are cast out. Therefore, good Christian, come a little way with me, and I will teach you about the way you must go. Look before you. Do you see that narrow way? That is the way you must go. It was formed by the patriarchs, prophets, Christ, and his apostles, and it is as straight as a rule can make it. That is the way you must go. But are there no turnings or windings by which a stranger may lose his way? Yes, there are many ways that border upon this, and they are crooked and wide. But you can always distinguish the right way, for it is always straight and narrow. Then I saw in my dream that Christian asked him if he could not help him take off the burden that was upon his back, for as yet he had not got rid of it, nor could he by any means get it off without help. As to your burden, said Goodwill, be content to bear it until you come to the place of deliverance, for there it will fall from your back by itself. Then Christian began to prepare himself for his journey, and Goodwill told him that when he had traveled some distance from the gate, he would come to the house of the interpreter, at whose door he should knock, and who would show him excellent things. Then Christian said goodbye to his friend, and he bid him Godspeed. Christian went on till he came to the house of the interpreter, where he knocked over and over. At last, someone came to the door and asked who was there. Sir, I am a traveler, who was told by an acquaintance of the good owner of this house that it would be to my benefit to call here. I would therefore speak with the master of the house. So he called for the master of the house, who after a little time came to Christian and asked him what he wanted. Sir, I am a man who has come from the city of destruction, and am going to Mount Zion. And I was told by the man that stands at the gate at the head of this way, that if I called here, you would show me excellent things that would be a help to me in my journey. Come in, said interpreter, I will show you that which will be profitable to you. So he commanded this man to light the candle, and bid Christian follow him. He led him into a private room, and bid his man open a door. When he had done so, Christian saw the picture of a very grave person hanging upon the wall. He had his eyes lifted up to heaven, the best of books in his hand, the law of truth written upon his lips, and the world behind his back. He stood as if he pleaded with men, and a crown of gold hung over his head. What does this mean? Asked Christian. Interpreter said, the man who is pictured there is one of a thousand. He can beget children, travail in birth with children, and nurse them himself when they are born. And you see him with his eyes lifted up to heaven, the best of books in his hand, and the law of truth upon his lips to show you that his work is to know and unfold dark things to sinners, even as you also see him standing as if he pleaded with men. And you see the world cast behind him, and a crown over his head to show you that because he despises the things that are present, for the love he has for his master's service, he is sure to have glory for his reward in the next world. Now I have showed you this picture first because this man pictured here is the only man whom the Lord of the place where you are going has authorized to be your guide in all the difficult places you may encounter on the way. Wherefore heed what I have showed you, and bear in mind what you have seen, lest on your journey you meet with some who pretend to lead you right, but whose way only leads to death. Then he took Christian by the hand and led him into a very large parlor that was full of dust, because it was never swept. After a little while the interpreter called for a man to sweep, and when he began to do so the dust flew about so abundantly that Christian almost choked on it. Then said the interpreter to a young woman who stood nearby, bring water here and sprinkle the room. And when she had done this, it was pleasantly swept and cleansed. What does this mean? Asked Christian. This parlor, said the interpreter, is the heart of a man who was never sanctified by the sweet grace of the gospel. The dust is his original sin and inward corruptions that have defiled the whole man. He that began to sweep at first is the law, but she that brought water and sprinkled it is the gospel. Now you saw that as soon as the first began to sweep, the dust flew about the room so that it could not be cleaned, and you were almost choked with it. This is to show you that the law, instead of cleansing the heart by its working from sin, does revive, strengthen, and increase sin in the soul, even as it does discover and forbid it. For the law does not give power to subdue sin. Again, you saw the young woman sprinkle the room with water, upon which it was cleansed with pleasure. This is to show you that when the sweet and precious influence of the gospel comes into the heart, then sin is vanquished and subdued, and the soul made clean, and consequently fit for the King of Glory to inhabit.